Wow. Sounds like we're in Cincinnati right now. I got a bunch of friends going to the game this week. Unfortunately, I'm not going to make it. So we got the Bills coming off a bye week. 2.5-point underdogs taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's a huge game for Cincinnati. I think they're sitting at third right now in the AFC North. They need this game to pretty much have any shot at a wild card spot, in my opinion. Actually, I think they still have a chance at the division. But
They do.
You know, joining us in the studio tonight, we have a diehard Bengals fan. They call him the Haymaker. He's from Cincinnati. Haymaker, how you doing tonight?
Hey, boys. I'm doing great. How are you all?
We are doing awesome. Thank you for joining us tonight. It was a tough loss for the Bengals on Monday Night Football against the Giants. What the hell happened?
Yeah, it was tough. And really, that game was a microcosm of the season. It's been a whole lot of almost, a whole lot of flashes of brilliance, followed by just ridiculous letdown, ridiculous disappointment. So it was definitely beyond frustrating, but I think the fact of the matter is, and it's taken me, you know, 7-8 games to notice it, I just think the Bengals this year are a exceptionally average football team, and they lost on Monday to a slightly above average football team. It's really what it boils down to.
Is it time for Marvin Lewis to go? Like, that's I feel like we hear that
every single year.
All the time. He loses in the first round of the playoffs. I don't talk to Bengals fans about this too much, but is it time? I mean, how many more years does this guy get?
I don't know, and that's kind of the age-old question. He's the second most tenured head coach behind Belichick, so
wow.
He's had chances. I mean, when he inherited the Bengals, you got to understand they were the worst sports franchise of the 90s, and that includes any other major sport. So he inherited a really, really bad deal, and he's done a lot of great things. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. If you get a team in the NFL to the playoffs 5 years in a row, you're doing a lot of things right.
Great point.
You got to eventually win when the bright lights are on you, and he hasn't been able to do that, unfortunately. Not all of it's his fault, but I don't know. I know a lot of people in Cincinnati are kind of getting fed up with it. I think a perfect example of kind of the Marvin, you know, just a very Marvin-esque series was that last series of the half this past Monday when there's a 1:15 left on the clock, Giants score, kick it off, Bengals have the ball at the 20, they got a timeout, veteran quarterback, elite receiver, run the ball a couple times, waste the clock, then kind of throw the ball down the field and just kind of run out the clock, and it terrible clock management. And then you kind of see McAdoo on the other sideline trusting his quarterback on 4th and 5 or 4th and goal inside the 5, going for it, scoring a late touchdown, which ultimately ended up being the difference. So a lot of frustration for sure. I don't know if the answer is to fire Marvin, because I don't know who's better. I mean, it's tough too when you know, I can think of 3 coordinators that he's had in the last 5 years who are now head coaches. So it's a lot of transitioning on the coordinator front as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't make the playoffs, I think he's gone. I think that's just what has to happen, unfortunately.
I think you reach a point where continuity hits its limits. So you love having Marvin Lewis every year to deal with Andy Dalton, so he doesn't have to learn a brand new offense. You get to keep some of it. But you see it with Mike McCarthy in Green Bay as well, where you just stay a little bit too longer than you should, and I think you need to change it up a little bit. And I think this is the year that Marvin Lewis is finally done. And I don't think it's all his fault, but I think the roster is good enough that they should be in a much better position than they are right now. And you see that with Dalton and AJ Green balling out every single week, but they can't win games right now. At least not enough games.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, from just a pure talent perspective, they've got as much or more talent as any other team in the league. I mean, they really pass the eye test, but when it comes down to winning when it matters, they just they haven't been able to do it, and they definitely haven't been able to do it this year. So I agree with you.
What do you think like the biggest problem with getting over the hump is with this team? Because it seems like Gio Bernard, Jeremy Hill, Andy Dalton, Tyler Eifert, AJ Green, like that's a very good core of offensive players, but they still can't seem to get it done. What do you think they can do to figure it out?
Right. Well, this year it's a little more clear. I mean, last year was a little bit different of a story. Just I think the Bengals were cranking on all cylinders, and I think it was game 13. Dalton broke his thumb and was kind of out for the season, and
yep.
I think that kind of doomed them. They looked really good. I mean, I don't know if you all remember. I think it was right around Christmas time last year. They were playing in Denver with a backup quarterback, up 14-0, and
yep.
ended up losing that game late. That would have got them a first round bye, would have got Dalton back, but we yeah. all know what ended up happening that season. So this year, it's a few different things. For whatever reason, the Bengals' offensive line has just not protected Andy Dalton at all. I think.
Atrocious. He's gotten sacked 28 times.
Yeah, and he was sacked, I think, 20 times through 12 games last year. So, huge, huge difference. I mean, I think the Giants coming into Monday were one of the worst, if not the worst, defenses in getting after the quarterback. They sacked Dalton three times, two times in a row at the very end of the game when all they needed to do was get the field goal range.
Yeah,
so,
that was ugly.
Offensive line has been a huge issue for the Bengals pretty much all season.
So, you got to think the Bills match up pretty well with that. The Bills lead the NFL in sacks with 30.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah. Darius looks healthy. I mean, the defensive line and linebacking crew seems very healthy. So, that could be a big matchup issue for the Cincinnati Bengals.
I think the game's going to be won or lost this Sunday on the lines on both sides of the ball. I think a matchup to watch is the Bengals' young right tackle, Cedric Oboye. He basically is a rookie. They drafted him in the first round out of Texas A&M 2 years ago, but he had an ACL, missed all of last season. So this is really his first year starting right tackle, and I think he's the future of the O-line, but he's been taking a beating a lot of plays this year. So it'll be interesting to see which defensive end for the Bills lines up or who's rushing off that left side against Cedric Oboye. I think that's going to be a really key matchup for sure.
Yeah, and it's the same thing actually with the Bills' offensive line. You got Eric Wood, who's now done for the season. They talked to Tyrod Taylor after practice today, and he's been working more with Ryan Groy, the Bills' restricted free agent out of Wisconsin.
Yep.
Looks like he's going to be getting the start. It looks like Jordan Mills, one of the worst right tackles in the entire league, looks like he's finally getting benched. And Shontrell Henderson's going to looking at some time, so... You're right. It's going to be this game's going to be won at the line of scrimmage.
You could see Geno Atkins, Jerry Hughes, and Lorenzo Alexander having massive days.
Huge
massive
days.
They could.
Yeah, and
it could be.
You know, I was going to say, yeah, I think Geno Atkins is a force at that three technique, and anytime he's really been the only consistent player on that defense all year, and he's a top three defensive tackle in the league. Anytime he gets single blocking, if it's just him one-on-one with a guard, the guard has no chance. So you're going to have to put a couple bodies on him. Really, besides Geno, you've got Carlos Dunlap, who had a great season last year, and he's been pretty quiet this year. So he really needs that breakout game. I don't know if it's going to be Sunday. If the Bills are kind of weak at right tackle, you might see some plays out of Carlos Dunlap, but overall, it's been pretty disappointing from a defensive standpoint as well this year for Cincinnati.
So that could be a lot of points. I mean, Haymaker, do you see you see Andy Dalton and the receiving crew being able to take advantage of this horrible Bills secondary right now? I mean, looks like Roby Coleman might be benched.
Yep.
Darby might be benched. I mean, obviously no Aaron Williams. I mean, the Bills are giving up a lot of big plays. They lead the league in giving up 7 plays of 50 yards or more. So if you're Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals, you want to be throwing the ball deep.
you want to be throwing the ball deep to number 18, but you got to get 4 seconds to throw the ball, and they haven't really been able to do that. I think, I mean, when AJ, I think, I don't know, remember the exact statistics, but when the Bengals lose, AJ, I think, has 65 yards receiving on average, and in all the Bengals wins this year, he's averaging 160 or something crazy. So when they get the ball to AJ, the Bengals win. The problem is, like I said earlier, getting Andy Dalton 4 seconds to throw the ball, especially throw the ball deep. And the way they do that, especially with a young, weaker offensive line, is to establish the run game early. They've kind of got that two-headed monster in the backfield with Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard.
Yep.
It's gotten better, but really neither of those running backs has established himself as, like, the true number one this year. So it's... You're right. You got to air it out against the Bills secondary, who, like you said, maybe has had struggles this year. But if Andy Dalton doesn't have time to throw, he's not going to be able to, you know, chuck it up to AJ for a Hail Mary every play.
What I will say is he might struggle with getting it to AJ Green deep often just because of pressure. But I do think that Tyler Eifert might have a career day. I really do.
Yes. The
Bills are notoriously terrible at guarding tight ends. They are so bad. So bad at guarding tight ends. Even with Zach Brown Band, who's pretty decent in coverage himself. But you can't put a linebacker on Tyler Eifert. The guy is an athletic freak. So I do think that is going to be one of the toughest things for the Bills this Sunday, is stopping big number 84. I don't know what they're going to do to stop him.
Who are they going
to
cover him?
I mean, we saw in the past 2 weeks, Nickell Roby-Coleman was guarding 6'5", 270-pound Rob Gronkowski. And then the next week, it was Jimmy Graham for the same thing. So I think you're going to have to combo with a linebacker, shoving him at the line.
Yep.
Maybe Zach Brown, whoever. And then a safety on top. It's going to be a mess for the Bills.
Yeah.
And they released Duke Williams, who had time at safety. So we're really thin on the secondary. It's going to be a tough week stopping Jay Green and Tyler Eifert.
And you're right. With Eifert, it's just the direction that the NFL is heading, with those super athletic tight ends who are too big to get covered by safeties but too fast to be covered by linebackers. And you know, all Bengals fans kind of use it as a crutch as well. Eifert's been pretty injury prone. Yeah. I think he missed the first 5 or 6 games this year, so that's been used as an excuse as well, especially since we lost Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu in the offseason to free agency. But now with Eifert back, he finally looks back to 100%. He looks good. He looks fast. And, I expect Andy Dalton to be hitting Eifert on those seam routes kind of down the middle this Sunday for sure.
So, Haymaker, I know obviously it's your homer, you love the Bengals. Do you have a prediction for us this week? What do you feel? I feel like this game is winner still has a chance, loser you're done. I truly believe that for both teams.
I agree.
Definitely, and I feel like for whatever reason, the AFC North as a whole, which is normally one of the stronger divisions when the Ravens, Steelers, and Bengals are all, you know, playing their A game, but it's down this year. I mean, every team in that division looks very beatable.
Yep.
I do think that the Bengals are going to squeak one out being at home. It is coming off a short week, which does not bode well, but I think both teams are going to be able to put a point. I do think the Bengals win, though, 27-24 on Sunday.
I like it. Close game. I believe that would put the game over. My prediction, it's just a tough place to play. I feel like every week this season, when you think there's going to be a lot of points scored, it turns out low scoring and vice versa. I think every time we said it's going to be low scoring, then it's high scoring. I think I've heard a lot of people this week already say they expect a high scoring game with, you know, the way the Bills secondary has been playing. But I do too. I'm going to have to agree. I think the Bengals at home, must-win situation, they win. I got Bengals 23, Bills 14.
I don't know if I'm as pessimistic. I know. I think it'll be close. I like both of you said, your scores were pretty close. But I still think there's a good chance the Bills pull this one out. I think the run game is going to be crucial. And I think Bob Woods is going to have another big week, and I think that's going to propel him into a solid position for the offseason, getting some money elsewhere.
So contract year.
Yep.
He's been balling out. Burrs?
You know, each week I sit here and say that the Bills are going to have a final field goal inside the two-minute warning and win the game. Well, let's just say not much is going to change. There's going to be a field goal in the final 2 minutes of the game. But I think it's Nugent. I think it's the Bengals that end up winning it late in the game. And I'm going to do like a little Swami Says score with like 32-29 final score.
Wow.
And I think the Bengals pull out a big must-win game in Paul Bryant.
Andy Dalton at home, his record is incredible. 1 o'clock games.
Paul Brown.
In Cincinnati, his record is absolutely insane. Like, he's only lost six times or something in his career. So, I respect the Bengals' lean, but I gotta stick with the Bills on this one.
I like it. I like it. Haymaker, any last words for us?
No, I know not a lot of love on these shows often gets given to special teams, so I got a special teams player to watch for you guys.
Former
undrafted free agent out of Wisconsin, Alex Erickson. He's a return specialist. Wow. Made the team this offseason because of his returning ability. Took a kick almost to the house on Monday. Took it inside the 5-yard line. I know the Bills have a pretty strong kickoff team and a pretty strong punt coverage team. So I urge you to keep an eye on that matchup as well. Could be pretty cool.
I like it. I like it. And one final question from the Wrecking Crew here. You being a Bengals fan, are you a Cincy Bearcat fan or Ohio State Buckeye fan?
I'm going to do this, and you guys have to repeat it even if you don't believe it. Oh, wait.
No. I refuse. No. That. Cannot.
Ohio?
Buckeyes?
No, I can't do it.
Come on, man.
Sorry, hey. We just can't do it.
I'll pull for the Bearcats, but against the Buckeyes, yeah. I'm diehard Scarlet and Gray, unfortunately. I know basketball, they're struggling, but football, they're looking like they're in decent position right now, even though they don't really control their own destiny, which scares me a little bit. But I got to go with Buckeyes on that
one. Yeah, so they're back to number two. I mean, all you got to do, you beat Michigan, you're in.
Got to wait for the khakis up north. The khakis up north, that's who you got to beat. You don't want to say Michigan. Team up north.
I think a lot of people assume that if Ohio State beats Michigan, they're in. But unfortunately, it's not the case. Because if Penn State wins out, which they're going to, they play Michigan State and Rutgers.
Yep.
And Ohio State wins out, Penn State goes to the Big Ten title game. And you know the playoff committee, they love conference title winners. So there's a chance Ohio State might be left out in the cold, even though they finished the season 10-1 with some really impressive wins. So that loss to Penn State really hurts. But
wow.
Like you said, I think if they went out and they look good doing it, I think they'll find a way in. Whether that is because they take two Big Ten teams, I don't know. But who knows? I hope they make it.
I think if they went out, they beat Michigan. Oh, I still think they would make it in. That'd be tough, but I mean, what would the committee do? Penn State would have the head-to-head. Penn State's game last week against Indiana was awful.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if makes it in over Ohio State, it's all about money. It's all about ratings. Urban Meyer will be back.
I agree. Haymaker, I have one more question.
It's funny. Urban Meyer's never won a national championship with an undefeated team. So it's kind of frustrating, but it's like all of his national championship teams need that like kick in the butt with like a bad loss early in the season. You remember like the Tim Tebow crying press conference after the Ole Miss loss at Florida, then they went on to win the national championship, and a couple years ago, they lost to Virginia Tech early. Ohio State ended up winning the national championship with the Bills' Cardale. We'll see. I think that they're really clicking right now. So if they get in, I think they can beat. I think they're the team that poses the most threat to Alabama. But Alabama's pretty freaking good.
They're so good. So I have one more question for you. I've never understood this. What is Houdet Nation, and where does Houdet come from? I understand that's the Bengals' slogan, Like, we have Bills Mafia, which also came from Muddy Waters, but what is Houday Nation?
I don't know where it initially stemmed from. I know the Saints have Who Dat, which I think was plagiarized from the Bengals, but Houday, the chant is Houday, Houday, Houday think gonna beat them Bengals.
Wow, so the Saints totally stole that.
Who they think going to beat them Bengals, which historically is just about everybody, so it doesn't really make sense. But Houday Nation is pretty strong. You know, after touchdowns, they get the Houday chant going. I don't know where it exactly came from, to be honest with you, but it's everywhere in Cincinnati for sure.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for the insight. The Saints clearly robbed... Hey.
I think Drew Brees stole that because he had that famous chant, the Who Dat Think They Go Beat Them Saints, in the playoffs, in their big playoff run where they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So I think we can blame Drew Brees for that. That's straight plagiarism.
I think so too. I think that, you know, he's a thief, he's a scumbag, and anybody who knows Drew Brees knows that just sounds like something that he'd do.
So,
you know?
Breaking news, Bengals fans hate Drew Brees.
The former Purdue Boilermaker. Exactly. Not far from Cincinnati, West Lafayette, Indiana.
They hate him for stealing their phrase. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That's breaking.
He's dead to us. Wow. I used to love him. He's a family guy. You know.
He's a family guy.
Super Bowl.
That is breaking news here live on Trainwreck Sports. Haymaker, thank you.
Houday is greater than Who Dat. Let's put it that way.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, there it is. A rivalry we didn't even know about.
Love it.
Oh, boy.
All right, Haymaker, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll have you on here again. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Good night now.
Good night now.
Wow. Did not know that. Great question, Petty Roosevelt.
He's great.
Great question.
I honestly was just top of the head. Yeah.
So
I never even thought about it other than when we got Haymaker on.
So very interesting matchup this weekend. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a dogfight.
Definitely.
Two teams with bad offensive lines.
Yep.
Good defensive front sevens, and then...
Yeah.
Which secondary can step it up? Which defense is going to come through?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, but we'll be right back. One final quick segment. We are going to do the podium, and we'll give you guys our NFL locks of the week. We'll be right back. Final segment. 10 o'clock. I'm exhausted. Definitely still a little sleepy from this past weekend. But as you know, this train doesn't stop. There's train fuel everywhere. Big couple weekends ahead. Huge couple weekends ahead. We got Thanksgiving next week.
Yep.
Couple weekends ahead. We got some big Christmas parties coming up that I know we're going to be going to.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Looking forward to paradise. Love paradise.
Don't get me started.
Don't even get
Campo Christmas Party Round 2. We'll have plenty of details about that. But a segment that we haven't done in a little bit, I'm excited because when we had Petty Roosevelt back in studio last time, it was fire. And here we go. It's called The Podium.
Approaching center stage, going for the bronze medal of top three most overrated holidays, we have, walking up to the plate, for Petty Roosevelt, Earth Day. Now, I don't know if there's a bigger sham of a global holiday than Earth Day. Why? I just don't understand the purpose of gathering together in a park to celebrate the Earth. Why not just do that every day of the year? You should always be celebrating the Earth. I don't understand that half the people that attend these Earth Day festivals smoke their cigarettes, smoke their doobies. You're just polluting the atmosphere getting together.
What about the other 364 days of the year? Why just this one day?
Earth
Day,
you should always celebrate Earth. I don't like that one. Number two, and this is just appalling. I will never understand it. Will never understand it. Why is Columbus Day a national holiday in the United States? First of all, I could rant on this for hours. First of all, Christopher Columbus landed in the Bahamas, okay? That itself just makes absolutely zero sense. So, and he landed in the Bahamas when he was intending to travel to Japan. So is there a worse person at global exploration than Christopher Columbus? And then our real hero on Columbus Day is Leif Erikson. He is the true founder of the Americas. So happy Leif Erikson Day, not Christopher Columbus Day. You will hear this every single year. You'll always see it on Twitter. And the number one most overrated holiday for me, walking to center stage, he's got the gold medal right over his neck, Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday is another one that it just makes absolutely zero sense to me. And you can group in Black Friday with that.
It's a piggy bank on that one, yeah.
You can go on
Everyone's
Amazon.
Doing it every Monday.
Exactly. Cyber Monday is every single day of the year. I see someone on their computer shopping every single day. You go on your Amazons, you go on your eBay. You can go anywhere to buy stuff discounted online every single day of the year. Why does Cyber Monday get its own holiday when Amazon puts up, oh, look at this 55-inch TV that we're selling for $120, when Amazon has two of them to sell to you? So you have 50 million people across America going to buy a 55-inch TV when they only have two in stock. Spare me Cyber Monday with the gold medal. Burns you up.
All right, well, that's hard to follow up on that one, really, to be honest with you, but my bronze, much to touch on your Earth Day, the one day a year when it should be year-round, is Flag Day. I remember back in elementary school, we take like a half day of school or marching down the streets with all our American flags going nuts and crazy. Why is this only one day a year? Flag Day should be every single day. You wave your flag high and proud to be American, especially now with all the change going around in America right now. That's my thing. Flag Day, a little pointless. Not for being one day, it should be year-round.
Agree, cannot agree more.
Silver is Groundhog Day. I am still not sold on the national public or the weather service or whoever it is that decides that if this guy sees his shadow, it's either 6 more weeks of winter or 6 weeks or 8 more weeks till spring. Spare me on that. That's
a full
guess.
I don't even know what day or part of the year Groundhog Day is in, other than it's after New Year's. I have no idea.
I know it's February 2nd or 3rd. Okay. Only reason, because that's my grandfather's birthday,
okay,
who I am named after, so I feel a little shady picking this day. But hey, it's his birthday, it's not Groundhog Day. And Groundhog Day, spare me. Spare me, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just going to keep looking out the window.
They cannot predict the weather.
I'm going to look out the window, and if it's cold, it's cold. If it's hot, it's hot. Whatever.
How do you feel about a train wreck squirrel day? Where we do the same thing.
Oh, my God.
In late August, are we going to get more sun if the squirrel barks under a tree?
Or
it eats 3 acorns?
Are the leaves going to change in September? Or are they going to change in October?
Exactly.
Or what's going to happen?
Give me squirrel day. It's just as qualified as Groundhog Day.
You know what? We're just picking certain days to be certain holidays. I mean, you know, it's like I'll put silver instead of silver Groundhog Day. I'm a silver 1A, and that will be like Donut Day, Best Friend Day, Hot Dog Day.
Oh,
like what?
Goodness.
Let's okay. We gotta stop that stuff.
It's just days for people to post Instagrams of donuts and best friends and all that garbage.
But I digress.
I agree with you there.
And my gold medal is Bring Your Kid to Work Day, and you guys might differ, even the listeners might differ on this. It's pointless. It is a kid to get away from their education. They lose a day of learning, and you bring them to work to slow you down, to get your boss even more pissed off at you. And it's just a hassle from the start to beginning. The kid loses his work. He's going to be failing tests later down the road because he's not there studying. He's not learning the lesson for the day. And it's just going to be, it's utter fuckery. So don't bring your kid to work day. Send him to school. Get him to learn something new. It's a pointless pointless holiday.
It's funny you said boss.
Al?
Because my bronze is boss's day. So, what does it mean? You're supposed to all of a sudden be nicer to your boss? You're nice to your boss every day of the week.
Exactly.
Typically, right? You're not going to do anything to
kiss an ass.
Yeah, you're going to be kissed ass. What are you going to bring him in, a cake?
I don't like it.
Maybe a piece of paper, a nice sign saying Happy Boss's Day, a card, maybe.
I don't even know what you're doing.
A card and a coffee.
Happy Boss's Day? Sham of a holiday. I will never understand it. My silver? Dingus Day.
Polish won't like that one.
I have never participated in it. I have never partied for it. I've heard about it. It's a bunch of flamingos and pussy willows flying around. We'll never understand it and we'll probably never get behind it. Like I said, sorry to all the Polish, but can't do Dingus Day.
That's a pretty big population of buffalo there, Hal. The Polish and Italian population.
Whoops.
That's all right.
And my gold is Sweetest Day. Pretty sure it lands right around Boss's Day. It's another just made-up holiday. What is it, like 5 months before Valentine's Day?
I could not tell you. That's how much I don't care about Sweetest Day.
It's like the halfway point. So it's like the halfway Valentine's Day. It's just another excuse to buy cards, buy flowers, and it's a horrible day to be on Twitter. For all the mammies out there who are wishing that...
I wish I had my bae today.
Wish I had my sweetie.
Yeah.
All depressed. A horrible day to be on Twitter.
Get out of here.
Burrs.
Now, as we're getting ready to close up this podium segment, I want to make sure that I bring up this topic. How ill-informed the American public is when it comes to Labor Day, Memorial Day...
Oh, it's my favorite.
...and Veterans Day. They don't know the difference.
Oh, my God.
And around September, you will get a lot of Memorial Day tweets, and even around Memorial Day, you'll get the Labor Day tweet saying, Happy Labor Day. I don't understand it at all.
It's hysterical. We have, you know, our very own Bro Jackson does a great job with that. He will go on Twitter and find all the people on Labor Day tweeting Happy Memorial Day. We had We had a Division I college tweet Happy Memorial Day.
An official Twitter account.
An official blue check Twitter account. On Labor Day, tweet Happy Memorial Day.
I love it.
Can't fired. Make this up.
He's gone. That's such a great point.
Yeah. I had to bring it up because, you know what? We all support the troops. The troops matter to us. And you got to make sure what day is what day.
But I think that's a great topic, overrated holidays. The only reason why I know about Sweetest Day and Boss's Day was because previously working at Wegmans. They sell the shit out of it.
Okay. So I have a stay woke for Boss's Day. So we obviously do not understand why Boss's Day exists as a whole, because you should treat your boss like they're your boss every single day.
Yeah.
You shouldn't treat them differently every day of the year. So my stay woke is, did bosses come up with Boss's Day themselves just to get free coffee, cake,
that's a great
ETC.
Point. It's funny you asked that, because I literally just looked this up. The concept of National Boss Day began in 1958 when Patricia Bays Horowski, then an employee at State Farm Insurance Company in Deerfield, Illinois, registered the holiday with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. She designated October 16th as the special day because it was her father's birthday.
Oh, my God.
Spare me.
That's a sham.
You can get out.
What does her father have to do with Boss's Day? That's why, does she work for her boss? Like, is her father her boss? Like, I just...
She couldn't get any other day remember him, so she just picked the last final day.
So Boss's Day is just this woman, it's her father's birthday.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
Forever in time, it's Boss's Day because Shirley had her dad's birthday.
Yep. So have fun celebrating Boss's Day on October 17th every year.
So there is no bigger sham than Boss's Day, then.
No, Boss's
because
Day.
There's nothing to it.
It's bodied. It's really, it's bodied.
You should be bringing in a coffee for your boss on a random Monday.
Yeah, I agree.
Well.
I don't buy it.
We got to end this third and final segment with NFL Lock of the Weeks. We're going to start with Petty Roosevelt. You've had definitely had a pretty good season so far.
I think I'm 2-1. I think so. Yeah, I think 2-1. It's okay. If I'm on here more often, then we'll get more picks in.
Okay. So, all right. So I'll shot
hey,
there.
Hey, hey.
Message sent. Message received.
I'm just trying to win the fans money here. That's all it is. they're listeners, not fans. So my lock of the week is got to be Oakland versus Houston in Mexico on Monday night. Oakland minus 5.5. That is my lock. I just cannot believe how bad Brock Osweiler is.
I like it. I like that a lot. But I mean, we've been fading him all year, and it's typically been hitting.
Yep.
And you got to love Oakland at home. I think they're coming off of...
Well, it's home, but it's in Mexico, so it's...
Oh, that's right. It's
international
in Mexico.
Borders here.
So are they rooting for about the Texans? That. Are they rooting for the Texans?
No,
down
no.
There?
Mexico hates Texas.
So there's like Raiders.
Yeah, no, exactly. There's going to be a huge Raiders fan base in Mexico City for the game.
Yep.
And so I think the home crowd is just going to take
a lot of silver and black. I like it.
Out of there.
I like
they
it.
Hate Texas. They it's perfect.
That's a good point.
It's
I like
perfect.
That.
Fade the Texans hard.
I like that. Well, my lock of the week. I don't know. Like you said, you're about 1-2 or something like that. I think I'm a couple games under 500. I think I won my first one, and I'm just falling behind because I keep taking the Browns and the points, hoping for one of these times they'll cash. But
I took the Browns and the points.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the train track here, take the lever, pull it over, and change tracks here, and I'm gonna go to the NFC North, and I'm thinking the Detroit Lions are looking at the standings and realizing that they have this conference by the nutsack, the balls, the cojones, and they can go out and beat a weak Gus Bradley Jacksonville coach team and just take advantage and cover the 6.5 and really build up the lead in the NFC North. And I think this is finally the week that Gus Bradley proves that he should finally be fired and his job is history in the, I don't know, what do you call Jacksonville? Jacksonville's all irrelevant. They don't even have a nickname in Jacksonville. They're so Detroit minus 6.5.
I think we just heard breaking news. Burrs just broke that this time next week, Doug Marrone will be a head coach in the NFL again. My favorite coach in the NFL is back.
What if Elbers actually did call this firing? Can this be another time of Elbers, you know, predicting what happens in the future, but finally having it on tape on the Trainwreck podcast? That's what I can't wait for. I really hope I'm right here.
Burrs
says. I think I am.
Burrs says.
Anyway, to Al's degenerate Al's lock of the week. We only know what he's gonna pick. Who knows?
Al, what are we thinking this week?
Okay, so I've been fading a team the past few weeks, and it's been making me a lot of money, and that is the Green Bay Packers. They are horrible. Talk about a train wreck. They are completely off the tracks. Sunday night football, prime time. Redskins are at home.
R-words
at home, minus 2.5.
Wow.
Lay the points. Everyone's sucker bet last week was Packers minus 3 in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Good night now. Gotta love the Redskins. I'm sorry. Everyone's going to see Packers underdogs.
They're getting killed. See, I think this could be another soccer line, though. I really do. They hit them last week. I don't know.
Every week seems to be a soccer line for the Packers game.
Oh, I agree.
Like,
yeah,
no. Like, you know,
opening week.
You're almost waiting for it to finally just cash. And stop,
yep,
you know, the soccer bet finally just finally following through.
It's the same way with the Cowboys. Like, opening week was a sucker line for them. They were like plus 3.5 Minnesota at home, and Minnesota took care of them.
Right.
Easily.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So that was the podium. Awesome podium.
That was stellar.
And the NFL locks of the week brought to you by D&M Landscaping. You need a deck.
Sometimes you need more.
They'll do anything for you.
Decks
that company will literally do anything for you. Guys, great show. Big weekend ahead.
Big weekend.
Going into Thanksgiving week. Final thoughts?
We got Bulls basketball coming up. We got Syracuse tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's college basketball is back in full force.
That's awesome.
Which I absolutely love. And I'm going to add in just at the end here for fun. My Pacers, our Pacers beat AO's Cavs tonight, 103-93.
Oh, another shot.
Love to see it.
At the co-founder of this podcast. Let's...
Well, I got one thing left too, Al, before I get out of here. President Obama, before he leaves office, gave the Medal of Freedom to MJ, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and the one and only, the legend, the real GOAT, Vin Scully.
Wow.
That guy, well-deserved Medal of Freedom right there.
Wow. Love it.
Love it.
Great last take from Burrs, but everyone... The Wrecking Crew, I know some of us from Trainwreck Sports, and this train will be at Santora's tomorrow. 5:30, UB Basketball's home opener.
Beat Nazareth.
They're 1-1, they got Nazareth at home. We'll definitely be there.
I can't wait to be talked.
Oh my God. Oh my, you know what? Can we just cut it now?
Syracuse fan.
Should we just cut it out now?
Syracuse fan.
No, I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about tonight.
We're going to edit that out tonight. You know, we don't want to hear that.
Come on, guys. You're better than that.
Hey, there's no train stations.
We got early work day tomorrow.
That's true. That's true.
Got to make money to buy those.
We're grinding.
You got to be tucked for UB tomorrow. It's a big afternoon now.
Get the rest.
Agree 100%. So, all
right. Nice save.
Go Sabres. Go Bills. Go Bulls. We'll be back. Good night now.